good to see you in the house of the Lord, and it's good to see the choir back this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You will notice we are trying our best to practice our social distancing, so don't think that the choir members hate each other. We're trying our best to stay as separate as we can, yet we want to sing praise unto the Lord because He's worthy, and we're just going to be very careful, so you please keep us in prayer. But it is great to be in the house of the Lord, and it's great to have the choir back with us this morning. Why don't you take a hymnal, turn over to page number 393, and let's everyone stand and everyone sing together this morning, When We All Get to Heaven. All right, everyone sing now.
Welcome, everyone, to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. I want to say it is a joy and a delight to see each and every one of you on this sunny Sunday. And looks like fall time is back in the equation, and we're so thrilled for that. But I hope everybody's had a good, safe, and healthy, productive week this past week. And so now we're here to worship, and we are looking forward to it. So good to see the choir back up. I had a few thoughts I had to finalize on the pew down there, and then I'm going to get back up in the choir myself. But we appreciate Brother Allen working with us, working together, him and I, the deacons, of course, trying to get some things within measure back in place. Since we're here on Sunday mornings, it just makes perfect sense to safely complete our Sunday morning ministry. And so we're excited about that. I do want to mention a couple things. Brother Allen may say a couple things here in a moment. During our 10:15 choir meeting, he had mentioned, and I just want to reiterate what he said, and I actually been failing to say it until this point. Maybe I alluded here and there to it. We encourage you to wear a mask to church. We do. And don't be bashful if you want to wear one and you're not right now. You know, always play it safe. Always play it safe. And we see a good bit today wearing masks, and we're thankful. That's welcomed. We want to go by the guidelines and follow it as close as we can. And our spacing, we're still doing that. And so we just want to encourage you to do that and feel free to do that. And it just shows you care. Shows you care. Shows you're concerned. But also, in addition to, if you ever wake up and you feel sick, not feeling well, we just encourage you to stay home. And that's why we have Facebook Live, to catch it at home. We all want to get back full speed ahead, serving the Lord, all of our services. But the day and time in which we live, we have to take it slow. And I want to thank you personally for being so patient. And being so kind, There hasn't been any kind of debates or cross words as concerning our services or why we haven't gotten back yet. Everybody's just been concerned for their families in our church family, so thank you. Just wanted to say those few things this morning, and so we will continue to be safe. I did also want to mention a brief deacons meeting after the AM service and talk about a couple things there. And let's just remember everyone on our prayer list. I know that Miss Connie Teague has a brother that's been in the hospital due to a motorcycle accident. I haven't heard from her, I don't believe, the second half of this week, this past week. So let's just continue to remember her brother and their family during this time. Let's remember everyone on the prayer list. Good to see Brother Bobby McClendon back with us. Of course, Miss Nancy. And Brother Bobby, a while back, not too long ago, underwent a stomach surgery of some kind. And as far as eating and digestion concerned, that part of it, went in and found out he had to have surgery. And so he survived that, the Lord. And, of course, his nurse, Miss Nancy, took very good care of him. So what a blessing to see you both this morning. And several others back with us this morning. And the Prestridges, good to see you guys. Brother Ben, Tidwell in the back. And we just love each and every one of you. Let's worship today. Let's be safe today. And not live in fear, but just be conscious of one another. Someone doesn't give you a hug and you reach for them, just know it's all in love and for reason. And so let's just be conscious of that today. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and Lord, we just take a moment to say thank you for who you are and for what you do. Lord, like the song says, you've led us safe thus far. And we know you've led us safe, and we know that you are taking care of us now. But for me to say, Lord, I'm not concerned with our world or the things that are taking place, that would be a lie. I'm very much so concerned. But Father, I'm leaning on you for wisdom and understanding, as everyone else is here as well. We lift up our president this morning, who's been in the hospital. Father, we pray for speedy healing for him. God, so much is at stake right now. We need him well. But Lord, even that, you're fully aware of that situation. And so God, we just give him to you. We give the presidential race, Lord, the election, we give it all to you. Because Lord, we have to focus on the here and the now. We lift up all the others that's been battling illness, that's underwent surgery, that's at home right now, that doesn't feel it's in their best interest to leave and come to church. I pray for them. Everyone on our prayer sheet, Lord, every life, every situation, those that are sick. And Father, we trust you for the future. And so in this moment, in this hour, this Sunday morning, we cast all of our care on you. We want to sing to you. We want you to speak to us in this moment so that we may leave and be better Christians. There may be someone here that's not even a Christian that doesn't know you. Father, we commit all things to you. Move in a mighty way this morning, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Could we sing the first and the last verse of Amazing Grace this morning? Choir, would you stand with me? Let's sing together, just worship the Lord this morning. Page 57, if you need it, Amazing Grace. for us this morning. Try our best this morning. Pick out a couple of songs that we think might be somewhat fitting for today as the choir starts back. You pray for Miss Glenda this morning. She sings, "Keep On."
Well, we praise the Lord this morning for His goodness and for who He is. I'd like the church to continue to remember Brother Robert, Brother Kevin, and the passing of their father this past week here recently. Let's remember these young men. Let's take our Bibles this morning for a few moments and go to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 2. I want to say thank you for those watching on Facebook. And what a ministry that is within itself. And so Genesis chapter number 2 this morning. And we're going to look at three verses, verse number 15, 16, and verse number 17. Familiar grounds here in Genesis chapter 2. But we feel impressed to mention some things here that hopefully will be a blessing and a help to you in your life, but also I pray you'll receive instruction and guidance along your pathway. I want to bow for a word of prayer and then begin reading of Genesis 2, verse number 15. Father, we come to you one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, this moment matters, like every moment matters in worship, but now has come the time to open up your book one more time. Give us a ready mind, and Lord, I pray that you'd help me gird up the loins of my mind. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll communicate the truths of your word to the hearts your people and those before us this morning. May you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter 2, notice if you would in verse number 15. Genesis 2 verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Again, this morning, very familiar territory for those who study the Bible and have heard much teaching and preaching in your life. You know the story, and you're familiar with Adam and Eve being in the garden. This morning, there's nothing that is going to be taught or said that hasn't already been taught or said. But just a different perspective, possibly, I want you to follow with us and look at. A little background information. We know that Adam and Eve are in the garden. It says so in verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. At least at this point, Adam is in the garden. And we know that Adam was alone, and so that the Lord provided a helpmate for him. Down in the latter verses of chapter number 2, verse number 18, down through verse number 23. Verse 23 says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And we know that was a divine operation that took place, how that God took the rib of Adam and made woman. We get into chapter number 3 and we see that the tempter came along. And we know that Eve partook of the fruit, Adam as well, and we know that they hid themselves from the Lord. They made fig leaves to cover their nakedness, and ultimately God covered them with coats of skins. This morning I do want to draw our attention back to verse number 15, 16, and 17. And specifically, I want to emphasize the place Adam was at. The place that Adam was at. Now, the place was the Garden of Eden, but if we stand back and take a look at this place in its entirety, we'll find out that it was a place of blessing. This is where Adam and Eve came into the picture. They both were able to partake of the fruits of the trees, except that one that was in the middle. This was not only a place of blessing, but it was a place of purpose. It's where Adam served and he worked. It was a place of fellowship between him and the Lord, his creator, but also Eve. It was a good place, a place of fellowship. But also it was a place of defeat, the Garden of Eden was. God has, let me say, placed all of us this morning at a specific place. He has given all of us, those that work from day to day, those that have families and homes, God has given you a family. God has given you a place. And like Adam, he had a place. And it was, again, a place of blessing, purpose, and fellowship, but at the same time, it was a place of defeat. I want us to always be aware that we could be in that place of blessing. We could be at that place of purpose and fellowship, but also let us always be aware that it can be a place of defeat. We can slip and we can stumble if we're not careful, even in the place where God would have us to be. And so as we stand back, we take a look at Adam's place. And this morning I want to try to mention a few things out of these verses, just a very simple a message to try to motivate us to be careful but yet enjoy the blessings of God. I want to talk to you about Adam's place. Let me ask a question this morning. How are things at your place? How are things at your place? How are things at your home place? Relationships between you and your spouse, you and your children even. How are things at the home place? We know that place can be not only a home place, but that place can be a place where you serve or work a secular job. How are things going at that place? Many places we come in contact with from day to day. But if we're not careful, in the middle of a place being a blessing, a place being a place of purpose, a place of fellowship, it could also be a place of defeat. There's a lot of people who will head off to work on Monday that's defeated. There's a lot of people and a lot of homes that are marching on each and every day, but yet it is a place of defeat. I believe the Lord wants us to know the place and places where He wants us to be. The Lord has blessings for us in certain places, those that He's the author of. The Lord has a purpose for us in life, many purposes. The Lord has plans for sweet fellowship between him and his children, but also at the same time, as we see in the very first book of the Bible, man has a way of messing up that place. So let us be guarded this morning. I want to mention a few things about Adam's place. And as I mention Adam's place, let us all just take an evaluation of the places we're at from day to day. Those areas that we work at, the people we come in contact with, and see if we can be a little more fortified after the message. Notice in verse number 15, we do see the place. He says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." I want to say, first of all, that the place of Adam's place, it was the Garden of Eden. And under that point, the place, the Garden of Eden, it was a good place. If you go back in chapter number 1 and read verse number 31, after the Lord had finished his creation at least earth-wise, vegetation, and everything before that, up until this point, he said in verse number 31 of chapter 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I want to say that the Garden of Eden was a very good place. The Lord had provided for Adam and Eve a good place to be at. He provided a place of purpose, and he provided a place of blessing. He provided a place to fellowship and to serve the Lord. It was a good place. And I want to say this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus, a Christian, born again, you know that when you die, heaven will be your home. God has a way, if we're obedient to him and listen and follow his leadership, he will lead us to good places. He will lead us to places that are good for us, places that areas that we can grow and mature in the faith in. It was a good place. But I want you to notice something else about this place, the Garden of Eden. Not only it was a good place, but I want you to notice that God took him there. Verse number 15 again. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now the word took here, it means to lead or take by the hand. And I got to thinking about that. We have God, the creator of Adam, who formed him by his hands. And now he is taking him by the hand and putting him in a good place. You know, God has that kind of tendency upon every living person if we will only allow him to. He wants to take us by the hand, number one, and lead us to the cross. He wants us to repent of our sin and turn to him in faith and accept the plan of salvation, his son, on the cross. But also the Lord has a way of taking us by the hand after salvation if we allow him to, and to lead us to places of blessings, places of purpose, places of fellowship, all at the same time. Would everybody agree this morning that God is a good God? He's a good God. And, you know, I got to thinking early this morning, about 5 o'clock. I have a prayer chair in the garage against the wall. And I sit there early on Sunday mornings. And I got to thinking, Lord, and I said within my heart, I'm not the man that I want to be right now. But then I got to thinking, praise God, I'm not the man who I used to be. And then I got to thinking even more, I am not the man that I am going to be when this thing's over, Brother Helen. You see, God has a way. He took me by the hand and led me to the cross on November 19th, 2002. And ever since then, I've been doing my very best to surrender to the revealed will of God. And to that, from that day to now, that is to read his word, to pray, to invite him to guide me in my life from day to day. I don't always succeed at that. I'm not the man I want to be. But you see, I'm not the man I used to be, nor that I'm going to be. And so God has a way of taking us to good places. Are you at a good place this morning in your walk with the Lord? That's the ultimate question. I mean, we could close up the Bible now, even with that proposed question, and go to the house and think about that, and it could have lasting effects. Whatever answer that may be, it could have lasting effects. If you're not at the place where God wants you to be, and you know that you are saved and born again, he could take you to a better place. He could take you out of the mire and put you in the choir. He could take you from one place, a destination A, and move you to destination B. But you know, we have a free will. And the question is, will you surrender your will for his will and allow him to take you out of that mire or out of that place, whatever place it is this morning, and lead you to a good place? You see, the Bible says, and the Lord God took the man. You see, we this morning, like Adam, are all fashioned by the hand of God. Someone said one time, well, somebody I was talking to in public, it was a while back, a long time ago, they said, well, you know, we're all children of God. I said, no, we're not. I said, no, we're not. We're all creations of God. You see, he has formed and created man. In fact, in verse number 27 of chapter 1, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We are all created in the image of God. A triune image at that. Body, soul, and spirit. And so we are creations of God, fashioned by his hand. Adam was a creation of God. He was fashioned by his hand. But we do his hands, but we do not become children of God until we accept his plan. And that is, we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We acknowledge we're a sinner and we're on our way to hell. And then we accept his sacrificial plan as he died upon the cross. And then we become children of God. But we see Adam, and he was molded. In fact, look in verse number 7, if you would, chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He formed man. That word formed, it means to squeeze into shape, to fashion. Various scriptures in the Bible tells us how that in our mother's womb that the Lord had formed us and fashioned us. Jeremiah says it, David said it, others say it, and we are formed in the belly. But even that, God knew us before then, before we were even conceived. That's why we believe abortion is not right. It's sinful. Abortion is wrong. We are pro-life in our belief system. And let me just say this while I'm here. It's election season. And this is all I'm going to say. I believe the stance of a Christian ought to vote morally. We ought to be people who cast our votes morally. That's all I'm saying. We are pro-life. We believe that on top of that, the relationship ought to be between one woman and one man for one lifetime. That's just to say a couple out of many things. We ought to vote morally, not that what could fatten our pocketbook or open opportunities for a job. And listen, some may need jobs this morning. But the idea is that God is our creator. And if we have accepted his son, he is our sustainer. And he will open up those opportunities for jobs. You don't have to spend your integrity voting immorally. Vote morally. But we see that he formed man in verse number 7. He squeezed man into shape and breathed in his nostrils. And now we see not only did God form Adam, but he took Adam. The word took there back in verse number 15, it means to lead. But also, it means to take by the hand. And the Lord God took the man. And the Lord God took the hand of Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep him. This morning, God's hand is extended for salvation. This morning, God's hand is extended if you're saved to, and if you're in a bad place or just a place that's not good for you. His hand is extended to reach and grab you and bring you out of that place into a good place. Isaiah says that his hand isn't shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Wherever you're at this morning, whatever facet of life, God wants to take us by the hand. Now, I'm not saying that trouble doesn't come in those places where God takes us by the hand and leads us to, because we're about to see that, and we already know that. The serpent came. But this morning, the place of Adam, the Garden of Eden. And we see that God took him by the hand. I really can't get past that this morning. Somebody needs to reach up to the Lord spiritually and allow him to take you by the hand. There is a better life to live. There is a purpose for you in life. There is a family for you. And God has fellowship in store. Church family, your own family. God wants to invade your family. He wants to start a new thing in your family. You may not have a family that knows the Lord or goes to church. Let them start with you. You may be at a bad place in your family. Your home life may not be all that it could be. Let God take you by the hand and lead you to that happy place. Make your house a home. We see that God took Adam to the Garden of Eden. We see that the Garden of Eden was a good place. But then I want you to notice something else about this place, the Garden of Eden. Good place, God took him by the hand. But next, the Garden of Eden was a working place. It was a working place. Notice verse 15 again. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. It was a working place. And so we see that actual words to dress it means to work or serve. The words keep it means to guard, observe, or give heed to. And so as we stand back and take a look at this place, we know that it was a working place. God put Adam there to serve. So we know that the Lord desires not just, this wasn't just a story in the pages of the Bible and times gone by for Adam. It was good for Adam, but not for us. But it's the same principle for us, is that God don't want us to be idle. He wants us to be a working people, a serving people. Idleness, we know, is the devil's playground. And so we know that we're to be working people and serving people. And the Lord put Adam there to work. To work. These are pre-cursed commands here. Before the fall, Adam, he is dressing, he is keeping, he's working, he's serving. So the Lord desires the very same thing out of our life, is that we work and we serve him. We work and we serve our families, not to be idle and allow things to pass by and go over us. Don't allow any long length of time without having our spiritual finger on the pulses, in the pulse of our life, our home life, our church life, our own spiritual life. Let us always, at all times, keep our hand on the pulse. Adam's job was to serve, to work, to dress it, to keep it, to guard it. So it is most important to allow him, the Lord, to take us by the hand and lead us to those places. If God created us, surely he has a place for us to work and serve. He will take us by the hand and lead us there. Are you there this morning? We know that our world and time, the day and time in which we live, is so different. It's evolving daily and weekly and monthly. I mean, someone said the other day, man, this year has really flown by. And if you would have taken a look in March and think, wow, here's this pandemic. This year is going to take forever. But really, it's flown by, at least to me it has. Just being busy. And I know times are different and times are strange, but God has a place for us to be busy at. Home, work, and school. Don't be idle, what I'm trying to say. So we see Adam's place, and that is the Garden of Eden. But I want to mention something else here. Not only do we see the place, but we see the provisions. In verse number 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." We see the provisions of that place. Number one, there was a variety of provisions. Again, he said, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And so God gave Adam a large, generous, liberal allowance to eat and to enjoy. Of course, we know there's that one. We'll mention that in a moment. But God gave Adam a large and a generous, a very liberal allowance to eat and to enjoy. And I want to say, within the perfect will of God, God has allowances. He has there's just a liberality of spirit. There's freedom in the will of God. If you look back and you read, you'll see in chapter number 1, verse number 11, you'll see that there was variety of trees. Chapter 1, verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So it's in all likelihood that the variety of trees Adam and Eve had to eat from could probably have been pear trees and peach trees and apple trees and oranges, orange trees and lemon trees. I don't want the lemon tree. Just a variety, multiple trees. And I want to say that in our life today, as God has reached down and we've accepted his plan of salvation, those that have and have set out to serve him, God has given us various provisions and blessings. He has given us salvation. He has given us a family to love and care for, friends in our homes and our jobs. There are various blessings within the good place of God. Adam's place, it was a good place. It was a place where there were various, a variety of provisions. I don't know. Maybe Adam woke up on the way to work. Well, I'll just have an orange today for my breakfast. And snack time, have a pear. Lunchtime, I'll eat an apple. Just various variety of provisions. Does not God do that? He gives blessings on top of blessings. Insomuch at times our cup runneth over, and it actually runs over our saucers, and we're drinking from our saucers. God is a good God. He is a God who not only provides our needs, but there's times where he just gives a little something special. And I think about in the book of Ruth, handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of purpose. Here, just a little something while you're humbly on your knees seeking me. We serve a God that gives provisions. And in Adam's day, here in verse number 16, there was a variety of provisions. But then I want to say, there was a freedom of provisions. Notice that second part, verse 16, chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So every tree speaks of variety, and freely eat speaks of freedom. Anywhere, any place, any time. Somebody may be watching on Facebook, maybe here this morning, and think, there is nothing better than these things I'm involved with that are anti-God. There's nothing better than the nightlife. There's nothing better than alcohol. There's nothing better than drugs. Oh, I beg to differ. There is a lot better. In fact, there is no comparison on the contrast of what the world offers and what heaven offers. You see, that not only there was a variety of provisions, but there was a freedom anytime, any place, anywhere for his enjoyment, for his appetite. God put that there. God does the same thing for you and I when we follow him. There's not one good thing we will want or desire that God will not give to us. In fact, David said in Psalm 23 and verse 1, "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or be in want." There was a freedom of provisions. Anywhere, any place, any time. All the luxuries and liberties we have, God has given to us. And so when we take a look at Adam's place, we see the place, we see the provisions. But lastly this morning, there's a pronouncement here. There's a penalty here. Notice in verse number 17, that first word, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We have instituted in verse number 17, law where there was already duty. We have law and duty here. You see, of every tree Adam and Eve could freely eat of, but there had to be some kind of limitation of self-gratification. There had to be something there to equate law and duty. Law and order. Law and order. The Garden of Eden. And listen, the time that we live in, 2020, we don't need less law and order in America in our world. We need more law and order in America in our world. That's why it is imperative that us Christians vote morally and go to the polls and vote. This vote matters. We need law. We need order. We don't need the police department defunded, Brother Allen. We need our police that we love. We need our firemen, and we need our first responders, and we need everybody that's in place to make this thing operate like it should. And here we see that there is a but in verse number 17. Adam, I'm putting you in this place. I'm leading you here. But there is a limitation. You know, those of us that are saved and that are born again, we don't use our grace card to sin. God doesn't save anybody and wash away their sins past, present, and future for there to be an attitude. Well, I will just sin because my sins are gone, and anything I commit, they'll be gone. We don't sin that grace may abound. It's true. If we do sin after salvation, grace is there. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But listen, there has to be limitations in life. I thank God for the sweet Holy Ghost that we have that lets us know when we're getting too close to a do not touch for our good. You see, the Lord is not withholding on us. In fact, the Psalm says He will not withhold any good thing to them who walk righteously in Christ Jesus. Walk righteous, upright in the Lord. Sometimes somebody might say, well, you know, I'll have to give up this or I can't enjoy this. No. The Lord will pour out goodness upon you. The Lord will, but in the midst of that, there has to be a drawing of the Holy Spirit. We have to be controlled. So Adam is in the garden, and there is a limitation on self-gratification. This is the trial of man's obedience to God. God doesn't give us everything we want. He gives us everything we need. And thank God He doesn't give us everything we want. There are some things that I've asked of God at times, Lord, well, can I just have this? No, He's not raising grown babies. The Lord is chastening us. He's correcting us. He is being shepherd to us. He is walking with us and talking with us. And His sweet Holy Spirit, the second person or the third person in the Godhead, He is moving us. And don't go here, don't go there, but go there. This is bad for you. Well, sometimes we may think that God don't care in life. We may think that He is deaf to our prayers, but could it be? He is keeping us from an evil tree. Could it be that God, the Holy Spirit, is keeping us on the straight and narrow for our benefit? Our benefit. God has a plan. And here in the garden, we see that there is a tree, a limitation. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God has given us many trees to enjoy. Let us not go after the one that we can live without. I do want you to notice that evidently this one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, it could be lived without. If this one tree was necessary for Adam and Eve to live, it would have been approachable. It would have been there for their picking and enjoyment. This tree was not necessary. Now, this morning, I don't believe that it was anything about a fruit. It didn't have it's not an apple with a green worm in it that'll kill you. It's the simple act of obedience. It's a standard put in place that we may not surpass. It's a limitation on self-gratification. God made every tree, and all of his creation was good, but there had to be a limitation. Let me just encourage you, if there's something you're praying about, and God has not solved that problem, opened that door, not saying that he's not going to, but just trust God in that situation. Trust him. That door is closed for now, for a reason. That window is shut for now, for a reason. It is there. It is not approachable. It's not attainable now at this point in your life and mine for a reason. May not ever be. We just got to trust God with it. The Lord here allowed one tree to be there, but it was definitely an equator. It was a standard. It was a trial of man's obedience to God. Adam and Eve had all of those blessings, but that one thing. We're not going to talk about it. We mentioned it before, maybe at a later time, but in chapter 3, Satan comes along in the form of a serpent and tempts the very thing, the very instruction God told Adam and Eve not to do. Notice the other part of this verse, and we'll bring it to a close here shortly. He said in verse number 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There is a great caution here within this verse of scripture, this pronouncement. And the great caution is that there will be death. Death. Number one, I believe there was spiritual death here. Wrapped up in these verses. But not only spiritual death, and what I mean by spiritual death is now that there was a fellowship between the creation and its creator, Adam, and the Lord. But after they partook of the fruit, there was enmity there. It was a clouded relationship, enmity between the Lord, or between Adam and Eve and God. And we know the story. Chapter 3, verse 7, the eyes of them were opened. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. Verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Why would you hide when you never had before unless something was there? Something was there. Is there anything between you and the Lord this morning? It was a pronouncement. It was spiritual death. And here in Genesis, in the very beginning, first book of the Bible, their relationship suffered. There was a spiritual disconnect. And because of one man's sin, death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And there is a spiritual disconnect between fallen man and a holy God to this day. There needs to be a regeneration of spirit, and that is made right by the Lord Jesus Christ. There was spiritual death, but then for Adam, there was going to be physical death. Adam now was mortal. Before he was, I tend to think, most commentators do, that he was in this perfect place and he was going to be immortal. I mean, just nothing else was in the equation. Sin wasn't in the equation. No curse in the equation. No thorns in the equation. Nothing else. It was just God in Adam in a perfect place. But because of this disobedience, because of partaking of that one tree, there was spiritual death. Adam hid, and then there would be physical death. Adam is now mortal. We are all mortal beings, and only by the new birth will we be one day immortal in heaven. But it's by the new birth. So we see that all of these things are happening at Adam's place. Adam's place. In conclusion, all of this tells us one simple thing, that there are consequences for the decisions that we make in life. We could be at a good place, a place of purpose, a place of blessing, fellowship, and all the rest, but with one wrong decision, it may mean a moment of pleasure, but a lifetime of pain. If the devil's tempting you to do something, the devil's tempting you to leave that place of blessing, purpose, and fellowship. If he's telling you to, I don't know, somehow just it's okay to take a time out with God and just, you know, a weekend break from the Lord, it can't happen. It won't happen. If you belong to him, you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You might as well surrender and allow him to shower goodness in your life. Will there be trial? Will there be trouble? Yes, there will be. But also, there's provision. There's blessing. There's fellowship. Message this morning, simply Adam's place to come. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. I don't know, Lord, if it came out the way it was in me. Just a word of encouragement, also a word of challenge. Holy Spirit, you do a much better job than I do communicating that, so I pray. This morning, it was evident what you were trying to say. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Give liberty and freedom in the invitation this morning. In Jesus' name.